Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Now, Father, we pray for our pastor as he comes. You would anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead to open up the words of God to us this morning. God, as your people this morning that are Christians, we pray we'd be better people, better children, because of what we heard. And then, Father, I pray for those in this room that are not your children, those that have never accepted Christ as their Savior, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I need to make my cell phone warning. Make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. If your cell phone goes off during the service and it is heard, a sinkhole will open at your house. And while it goes off here, you will go home to a hole in the ground and your house will sink. So let's be sure we turn it off. What do you say this morning? All right. We can go 45 minutes or less without a cell phone, can't we? Right? I know some of you need a patch to go that long without a cell phone, but try it. It'll be a blessing to you and to everybody around you this morning. I'm also asking that you sit very still and listen carefully now. Today we're preaching the last of three messages on spiritual warfare. We've talked about spiritual warfare within. The Bible tells us a child of God, a Christian, has a war going on inside of them. Flesh against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. These two, Galatians 5 says, are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It doesn't mean you can't get anything done. It means the things we would like to do most, we don't seem to be able to get at because there is a war going on inside of us. That's a warfare within. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on around us, taking place in this room this morning, on this property, in this community, in our state, our country, this world today. There is a war going on between God and Satan. Those that work for the devil and those that work for God. And that's a warfare. It's a real warfare. If we weren't in that kind of warfare, the Bible would not give us so many military terms. That we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That we're to take unto us the whole armor of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, the Bible says. You only need armor because you're in a battle, and that's true, friend. There is a spiritual warfare going on around us. This morning, I want to talk to you about the spiritual warfare that is ahead of us, that is yet to come. In this passage we read this morning from Matthew chapter 24, I want you to look with me carefully now at verse number 3, please. Jesus sitting upon the Mount of Olives, it says in verse 3, the disciples came unto him privately saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? The things there mentioned are that Jesus said the temple would be destroyed. But notice the next question, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now that's a pretty important question, wouldn't you say? Not only when would the temple be destroyed, Lord, but could you tell us the signs of your coming? Well, he was already there, so they're asking him about the signs of his return, when Jesus Christ would come back. But they also asked him, Lord, would you tell us when the end of the world will be? Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning. When Jesus talked about, they asked him about the end of the world, they're not talking about the end of planet Earth. Okay, so the people who believe that man will destroy the earth need to understand the Bible carefully this morning. The end of the world here is talking about the end of the system that mankind and Satan has established on this earth. Let's get the order correct. The system that Satan has established on this earth that has people involved in it. That's the word world here. It's cosmos. It means an ordered arrangement of things. This planet is never going to be destroyed. Never. God has promised a portion of it to certain people, and they're going to get that portion. So we're not going to destroy the earth, okay? That's not the end of the world. The end of the world means the end of the system of things. Listen to me. The end of a system of things that's been going on for 6,000 years. Since Satan came down the tree in the Garden of Eden in the form of a serpent and began to question God's word and got two perfect people in a perfect place to violate the Bible, and sin came into the world. From that day to this, Satan has been operating a system on this earth. That system, the Bible calls it the world. And it's a program of things. Satan is the god of the world. 2 Corinthians, the Bible says. It tells us that that system of the world operates. It has a religion. It has a philosophy. It has an attitude. It has an economy. It has everything that's necessary. It is a functioning system. It has the world, the flesh, the devil as its operating principles. It has a system. It is a system whereby it is intended to appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. When they said, Lord, tell us when the end of the world is going to be, that's what they're asking about. When's this whole thing going to change? The spiritual warfare that is ahead of us, ladies and gentlemen, is very simply this. When God and Satan finally have their great final confrontation and God wins and Satan is defeated and the system of this world that operates today seemingly to have free course to do whatever it wants to do. Shake its fist in God's face. Defy His word. Defy His law. Defy His Son, Jesus. Defy everything that's right and godly. That system is going to come to an end. That's the spiritual warfare that is ahead of us. That is what's going to happen. And it will happen, I believe, very soon. Now, I want you to listen carefully this morning. Now, Jesus has asked this question. What's the sign of your coming? When's the end of the world? And then Jesus begins to give them a detailed map to reveal to them the things that will take place when this happens. Now, I want to cover that with you this morning because I want you to understand something today. The spiritual warfare that is yet to come, all the program and all the process of that is in place today, right now, before each and every one of us. And I want us to look at it carefully. So it's important that you keep your Bibles open, please, in Matthew chapter 24. Now, first of all, I want you to go to verse number 6 and the end of the verse. Notice the statement, but the end is not yet. You see that? If you're like me, one of those heathens who writes in your Bible, underline that statement. This is in the context of the map of detailed of events, things that take place before the end of the world comes and before Christ returns again. The end is not yet, verse 6. Drop to verse number 8. Notice the statement there. This is the beginning of sorrows. Important statement there. Verse number 14, please. Now look at this verse says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Look at this statement. And then shall the end come. So in verse number 6, please, he talks about the end is not yet. These things happen, but not yet. Then he says in verse number 8, these things happen. This is the beginning of things. In verse 14, he says, when this happens, the end is coming. That's it. Now look at me. Ladies and gentlemen, that means this. The Lord just told us in a few verses, and you need to put this obviously together with Daniel and Revelation and things, and we'll not take the time to expand all that for you this morning. But what he did in these few short verses was he explained how this spiritual warfare will come to pass, how we know it's taking place, how we know it's coming, and then the end is going to come. Now, I want you and I to get a picture of something this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, things that are now are not always going to be. The way things are in this world today is not how things are going to continue. So yeah, Pastor Johnson is going to get worse. Oh, I agree with that statement, but that's not going to go on either. We live in a world today of great injustices. Would you not agree? Travesties of mankind take place on this earth. And it would seem that the way things are, and they continue to get more difficult and more get worse, it would seem like they're just going to go on forever. But the truth is, that's not what's going to be. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be one day a series of things that are going to take place, a warfare that is going to go on, where the war within and the war around us erupts into a war ahead of us, and this spiritual warfare will culminate into great things where God is going to make everything right. How do we know the spiritual warfare? What are the things that are going to take place? Look at verse number 6 again, please. There needs to be, first of all, an alignment of events. It says in verse number 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Now listen, the Bible, Jesus said, now they're asking him, how do we know the end is coming? When do we know the end of the world is coming? He said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There's always been war on this earth. In 6,000 years of human history, there's been about 48 or 49 years of peace on this earth. There's always a conflict somewhere. But this expression here, or this usage here that Jesus gives us, is referring to wars and rumors of wars. It's talking about worldwide events. We've seen great world wars, but not the entire world was involved in the war. Pretty close. World War I was not a worldwide war, quite frankly. Most of it was fought in Europe. But the truth is, World War II covered a good portion of this planet. But the wars he's speaking of here are wars that cover and encompass this entire earth. Now, a question to you this morning. What war could possibly cover the entire earth at one time? How about a war on terror, where people are bombed in Indonesia and Pakistan and India and London and America and Mexico, and South America, and Canada? How about wars where it covers the face of this earth? See, this war we're facing today as a nation, America, and the world faces today, this war on terror that takes place, it is a worldwide thing. It is everywhere on this planet. It is in Australia. It is in Africa. It is on every continent on the face of this earth, with the exception of Antarctica. And if a bunch of Muslim terrorists could get down there, they'd have war down there too. It is covering the face of this earth. That's wars and rumors of wars. That's what he's talking about. A worldwide cataclysmic event, or series of events, where things just keep erupting and breaking loose here and there and here and there. You say, well, but Pastor Johnson, that's now. That's today. That's like it has never been in the course of human history ever before, as it is today with this business of terrorism that's covering the face of this earth. By the way, it's not just Islamic terrorists. It's terrorists of all kinds striking in different places in this world. See, Pastor Johnson, you're trying to get me afraid this morning. I'm trying to help you to understand something. There is an alignment of events that take place before the great spiritual warfare that culminates in the end of the world. And Jesus told us, now this won't be the end of it, but let me tell you, when there are wars and rumors of wars, the end is not yet, but that must take place. There must be an alignment of these kind of events. Listen, there must be an alignment of world events that begin to shape the way the world lives. Our lives are different today since 9/11. Remember the old days when they had to have those commercials of guys running through the airports and jumping over chairs? You do that now, you get shot. Remember when you could just pull up in front of an airport, get out, go in with your family, walk up to the gate, wave goodbye to them as they pull the airplane back, then go get in your car and drive home? Can't do that anymore either. Now you got security and you got all this stuff, and now they've got body scanners and everything else that goes on. They get you through. And I've been in a bazillion airports in my life. It's not at all encouraging to know that one poor airport security is different than the other ones. And that you could, one time you could walk through with your belt and your shoes on, the next time you can't. One time this sets the alarm off, the next time that one doesn't. One time you walk through and you breathe too much. And they're over there wandering, you're like you're some kind of terrorist or something. And the next time you just walk through there and you got stuff in your... I had a preacher friend of mine walk through a security check with bullets in his pocket he forgot he had and left them in his pocket, walked to security, got on an airplane, flew to the other side of the country, got to his motel, went to empty his pockets and pulled out a handful of bullets. Now you don't want to fly anywhere, do you? Truth of the matter is, our lives are different today. Things are not the same now. Why? Because of wars and rumors of wars. Listen, worldwide events that would begin to shape and to change the way we live, the world and the world in which we live. The world will look for peace and somebody to lead that world to peace. Just saw a president receive a Nobel Peace Prize for doing nothing. Wrote a book. Wasn't aware that writing, well, you can get a literature prize, but wasn't aware that you could do nothing and get a peace prize. Wasn't aware, look at me, but people are so hungry today for somebody to step up, give an answer, say something that will resolve the conflict between Israel and the Palestinian neighbors, resolve the conflict that takes place on this earth today. There's wars and rumors of wars, and people are seeking for peace. And I'm telling you this morning, as true as I stand here today, people would bow down and kiss the feet of the devil if he could give them peace on this earth, because they think that's so important. What's more important than peace with man is peace with God. That's what we need more than anything else. By the way, the wars and rumors of wars are attached to the fact there's no peace with God in people's lives this morning. There must be an alignment of events before this spiritual warfare takes place that is yet to come. Look at verses 7 and 8. There must be an alignment of nations. Oh, follow this now. Look at verse 7. Jesus told us before the end of the world would come, here's what would happen. For nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Now notice the statement, verse 7, verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Nations align themselves. Oh, not in agreement, but they align themselves because of, Bible says, pestilence and famine and earthquakes in divers places. Well, Pastor Johnson, there's always been famines on this earth. There's always been pestilence on this earth. You mean like the pestilences we're seeing today? Pestilence is disease. Like the pestilence we're seeing today. The kind of pestilences, diseases that are covering the earth today. Unknown, unseen in the history of mankind. Just what we're seeing here in America now with diseases and things that are arisen because people have over-medicated themselves and taken all kinds. You know, people sneeze nowadays, they run to the doctor and get antibiotics. Truth of the matter is, not smart. You need to let your body fight off disease. You know the best way to fight off a good cold, don't you? Big old water glass of whiskey, about that tall right there. It's fantastic. You just knock that thing down. You won't do a thing for your cold. Just make you glad you got one. No, that's not the way it works. No, that's not the answer, okay? But the truth is, it's amazing. Incredible. And now we have created resistant diseases and things. We have a worldwide epidemic of malaria. We have a worldwide epidemic of AIDS, though quite frankly it's not near the proportion people would like to make it sound. There are diseases today for which there are no cure. And these kingdoms are aligning themselves actually against each other. Tell me you couldn't get the world to unite together to kill off a disease. We used to do that. You know, we did it with polio. We did it with tuberculosis. We did it with certain diseases in the past that were killing people just as much and more than these diseases of our day today. Why can't they do that? Because kingdoms are against kingdoms and nations are against nations, and it's politics. Somebody has a famine in their land, we send them billions of dollars worth of food, and it rots in warehouses while dictators take that food and sell it for money instead of giving it to the poor people that they have under their control. See, that's the day in which we live today. There has to be an alignment of nations. Do you understand, dear people? This business of the European Union and this business of the United Nations and this business now of how these partnerships and friendships are developing, and it's all going to hinder and center around the nation of Israel. Those nations who are aligning themselves against the nation of Israel will one day come after that nation. The United States of America is smart, and it didn't sound like much like we're very smart this week, ragging on the nation of Israel for decisions that they made. They're our friends. Not smart to tell them how they betrayed us. Making foolish statements and speaking against the nation of Israel. Not smart. Anybody comes against the nation of Israel, God comes against that nation. Not smart. But those nations who are aligning themselves to come, all this stuff is kingdom against kingdom. It's not all about just power, and it's not about oil, and it's not about this. It's about a spiritual warfare that is about to erupt, and it will all come together and center on that little nation Israel there in the Middle East. And the truth of the matter is this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we must understand something. When that happens, he says, that's the beginning of the sorrows that must take place. That tells us everything's in alignment. See, Israel didn't exist as a nation now as it is today until 1947, 1948. Now we have a situation where since its inception, since Israel returned and was given the right to become a nation once again, since from that day to this, there have been those who have aligned themselves with Israel and against Israel, and all centers around that little piece of dirt there on the Middle East, on that little piece of crescent soil by the Mediterranean Sea, and it's all going to come together over that. And everything's in alignment there. Everything that's taking place that we see today, the wars, the conflicts, the difficulties, there is an alignment of nations, and it's all over this business. And these matters that take place in world events, that take place with famines and pestilence and diseases and earthquakes, they help nations to align more quickly and carefully to each other in what they do. For this great spiritual warfare ahead of us to take place, there must be also an alignment of persecutions. Please look at verse number 9 and 10 now. Please follow carefully. Then shall they deliver you, that's God's people, deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. For then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, the Bible says. Persecutions, God's people. When the great spiritual warfare is about to take place, the Bible says God's people are going to be persecuted as they've never been persecuted before. Look at the wording there. Talks about hatred. Talks about affliction. Talks about martyrdom. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, Christians are not really being martyred today. Are you serious? Seriously. I understand that the national media doesn't make much big deal out of the fact that Christians today are being martyred by the tens of thousands across this earth. Either in communist countries, either in Muslim countries, countries under dictatorships, Christians having their lives taken for the cause of Christ. While our political leaders over there smooching on China, they're lining up Christians in the streets and shooting them in the head for having a Bible in their hands. That goes on in the world today. That's taking place now. And look at me. And what's happened is, the world has turned itself against Christ and those who follow him. It's very clear and it's very obvious. This alignment. See, but Pastor Johnson, you keep bringing everything to our present day. You're getting the picture this morning. The spiritual warfare that is ahead of us, this great culmination of a great battle between Satan and God that will culminate in God defeating Satan and bringing the end to the system of this world, is all preceded by these events we're speaking of today. And they're happening in our midst today. Oh, afflictions. Now let me see now, verse number 9, please. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. You mean they'll say there's something wrong with us because we oppose homosexual marriage. You know what? I don't oppose homosexual marriage. I am for biblical marriage. It's for a man and a woman. You understand? It's not about being against what they are. It's about being for what the Bible says. And if they're against what the Bible says, that's their fault, not mine. I'm for what the Bible says. There should be more amens on it than that, quite frankly. You've been listening to the stinking news media too much. You understand that? It's not about hating. I don't hate anybody, dear people. You understand that? I'm not hating anyone on this planet. I don't hate anybody, regardless of their lifestyle choice. But when the Bible says something is so, it's so. That's just all there is to it. I'm opposed to that. I'm opposed to anything but a man and a woman married, living together under a roof as God intended it to be. That's the way the Bible drew it up. But now we're hate mongers. Now we're opposing this and I'm for what the Bible says. And if the world's against that, that's their fault, not mine. I'm for what the Scripture teaches. You see, it's very clear, ladies and gentlemen, this world has turned it around and now all of a sudden, we're the ones who are having, we got the problem. We don't have a problem. It's like the old prohibition preacher, Billy Sunday. He was preaching on something. When he got done, a lady came up to him and said, said, Mr. Sunday, he goes, you were rubbing the cat the wrong way this morning. He said, no, lady, I didn't turn the cat around. And that's exactly how it is. We didn't change things. We just believe what the Bible says. But today, ladies and gentlemen, now they're passing laws and things that are trying to tell us, you can't stand up and make a statement like what I said this morning. That marriage is between a man and a woman. That's all that there is. They're trying to pass laws. It will come. The day will come when this preacher will get himself in trouble for preaching the Bible. Just preaching God's word. Not hate speech. We're not advocating anyone hurt anyone who disagrees with us. We're not advocating people go out and do something to somebody because they don't agree with what we believe. No, that is not right. That is not what we believe. That is not where we stand. But they're going to make it look that way. And today it's turned that direction. And I'm going to tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. I would rather go to jail than let the government tell me what to preach from this pulpit. We will not have that. That will not take place. That's not America. That's not the country that was given me. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand. See, that's affliction. That's pressure that's being put on people. Well, you just need to be quiet. Let people live their own lives and do what they want to. Fine, but they don't do that. They didn't keep it in the bedroom. They didn't keep it at their house. They didn't keep it to themselves. They parade it up and down our streets. They shove it in our faces. They try to get us to agree with their lifestyles and their conduct, and we're not going to do that. See, then we're going to be afflicted for that. But that's us today now. Somebody made it look like something's wrong with Christians. I wasn't aware there was anything wrong with what we believe. And there was a day in America, and even on this earth, when there wasn't anything wrong with a person who believed what the Bible said. See, I'm not against people of other faiths coming to America. Hey, we all got in on that, you know. I'm glad that they come here. Gives us opportunity to not have to go get them over there. They come to us, we can reach them here in America. That's wonderful, fantastic. I don't have a problem with the fact they built a Hindu temple over here in Anderson. So that's their Hindu temple. They have a right to do that. This is America. As a Christian, I want to reach those folks to Christ so they'll realize they don't have to worship the 330 million gods of the Hindu religion. But they have a right to do that. Are we clear about that this morning? Rights as a citizens, right as a Christian, are two different things today, and we didn't change that. The world changed that. See, there's this alignment of things that take place. And he says the people of God would become afflicted and martyred. And problems would arise because God's people would stand up for what they believe and do what they're supposed to do. That, he says, that's the beginning of sorrows. Then look at verse 11 to 13. And this is the thing mentioned most often in this passage. It becomes an alignment of deception. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Deception. If you'll notice throughout this passage of Scripture, look at verse 4. Take heed, end of verse. Take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deception seems to be a common thing that takes place right before the big spiritual warfare that is to come happens. False prophets. That's somebody who stands up and says they speak for God. And the Bible says many are deceived. How is it a person is deceived by a person who preaches false doctrine and false teaching? Because the people who sit and listen do not know what they believe. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the Bible says. Listen. The Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, we are supposed to be aware and know what the Bible teaches so we can protect ourselves from deception. And there we are this morning. All across America, churches of all kinds, people sitting there listening to Smiley up there, telling them about everything's going to be fine, aim at nothing, hit it every Sunday, talk a little bit, you know, sing a little bit, put on a little show, and get up and go home. People just love that stuff. They think that's great, that's fantastic, because it made them feel good about themselves. When in reality, what we need to do is let the light of the Word of God shine upon our hearts and our lives. And if we're right, encourage our hearts in that right. If we're wrong, get us convicted so we can get right about what we're doing. Rather than stand up and salve consciences, and rather than stand up and tell people that we need to have ear-tickling backs scratching, nickel-nipping, half-stepping, soft soap and pink tea and lemonade, reverendettes who stand up sucking on the cigarettes, preaching the sermonettes to God's people who just want to get up and go home to their life. Wrong. That's the false prophet junk. See, we got to get this thing wrapped up. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. There great warfare comes when many are deceived by false preaching. Instead of just preach the Bible. Hey. And many are deceived by folks who stand up and say, I'm the answer. There's a guy running around in South America telling people he is the Antichrist. At least one of them will finally admit it. Telling people he is the Antichrist. Put 666 on all his literature. That's his material, everything else that he hands out. He declares himself to be the Antichrist. Is he actually the person of the Antichrist? No, quite frankly, I don't think so. But what's interesting is he has a following. And you think to yourself, now wait a minute. It's bad enough when someone hides their Antichrist principles and doctrine. It's another thing when you say you are, and people say, okay with me. Christian, you and I are supposed to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. Can you do that? Can you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto our fathers? Can you? Can you honestly defend what you believe biblically? Not argue with people. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about going around getting in people's face and yelling and screaming at them. I do that when you come to church. Other than that, that's not how we deal with folks. Pulpit tactics are not how we deal with people personally. But can you defend what you believe? Can you stand up and tell people what you believe and explain that by the Word of God? Because that's what they need in their life today. Because that book right there, friend, the Bible says in Psalm 119, the entrance of thy word giveth light. The light of the Scripture reveals to us, okay, that's right, that's good, that's wrong, that's bad, and let the Bible be the thing that resolves the issues. That great warfare is today. We are on the verge of this very event taking place. The Bible says in verse number 12 that a byproduct of all this is that because sin abounds, the love of many wax cold. I cannot believe, nor can you, to see the things that take place in our society. And you think to yourself, how can they starve those children like that? How can they beat those babies? How can they run people's lives and ruin them the way they do? With seeming, I'm talking about parents and the awful things some do to their children. And I think to myself, how could you? You ever look at a child and think how you could hurt that child? That's so far from my mind. The comprehension of it all. It's unfathomable. But because iniquity abounds, the love of many waxes cold, the Bible says. Real biblical love. Now what do we do this morning? Since we're on the verge of this last great conflict, quickly we finish with this. Look at verse 42. We need to be watchful. Notice this statement, all in the context of the passage, but verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch means stand guard. Stand guard. Vigilance. An understanding, ladies and gentlemen, that since warfare is about to begin, every great war that's taken place, especially in America's situation, we have almost always been caught by surprise. Because we didn't watch the enemy enough to be aware of what was going on and prepare ourselves for what we were doing. And America's always getting caught. 9/11, they caught us not being watchful in what we were doing. Watching is that, walking, on guard, prepared. But that doesn't mean looking out for Muslim terrorists. Doesn't mean watching out for enemy. It means as a Christian, a child of God, stand up, Christian. Realize what the Bible says. Get your spiritual eyesight squared away. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And see and understand from biblical perspective all that takes place in front of you. And be on guard. Watch your home. Watch your heart. Watch your life. Watch your church. Watch what you do. Keep on guard about things. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do that, we don't know what hour the Lord comes. We're not supposed to set a date. Jesus could come right now before I finish this morning. But you and I are supposed to be aware and watching what's going on around us in our life. Do you realize when deception comes, do you know how to push it back and say, no, that's not true, that's not right. I don't care if it's politically correct or not. Just step back from it. Hold up the Word of God and let the Bible resolve the issues and say, that's it. Stand up, Christian. Be watchful. Be watchful. On guard. Always looking. Careful about things. Well, Pastor Johnson, I mean, come on. I mean, we got so many things going on today. After all, yeah, and that kind of laissez-faire apathy is what's created the mess we have today in our country. We're just kind of sitting around fiddling while Rome is burning. Stand up. Man, listen to me. If I can't control what goes on in Reading, I can control what goes on in my house. Watch out what goes on in our church. Do the things we need to do and be watchful then. And aware, you have to be watchful. You have to know what you're looking for. The Bible will give you what you need to know. Number two, you need to be ready. Look at verse 44 now. Quickly follow. He says this, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Watching is one thing. Prepared, know what to do about it. That's something else altogether. You know, friend, this morning, look, we need to have a salvation that's ready. The wonderful thing about biblical salvation is you have it. You're not working on it. You're not working at it. You're not working toward it. You're not holding out to get it. When it says, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved, that's talking about living in the era and time when this warfare takes place. It's not talking about your salvation. If you have salvation, it's because you receive Christ as your personal Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You have a no-soul salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You have a no-soul salvation. I have a present salvation. I possess it. God has saved me. He gave me eternal life. That's ready, friend. Ready in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Christian, then is your life ready? Jesus Christ returns today, living right or not, if you're saved, you're going. We don't hold out to go up. We go up because he saved us. The question is this morning, right now. Jesus Christ returns this minute. You're caught up to meet him, and you face him today, and you would. Is your life ready to face the Lord with? You mean he won't let me into heaven? Oh, you'll go to heaven, but you have to face him first. You have to look him in the face and then tell him all those sorry excuses we use. Well, it was too cold. It was too wet. It was too hot. It was too this. It was too that. In a couple of months, I was going to do this. And then later on, I was going to do that. And one of these days, I was going to get there. And one of these times, I was going to do that. We're going to look at Jesus, and he's going to just look us in the face, and we're going to wonder why. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-scarred face, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I had given him more of what I should have done, not more excuses. And the last thing is this, you need to be busy. Look here, look at verse number 46, please. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find, the Bible says, shall find so doing. Look here. That means you and I are doing the things we're supposed to be doing, not getting it. When the servant comes back, when the master comes back and the servant is not doing what he should, the servant still belongs to the master, but the master is not pleased because he's not. Don't you wish and hope the Lord comes back at about 12:05 on a Sunday morning? You know why? Because I go up from church. Huh? Wouldn't that be a good spot to go up from? Huh? Wouldn't that be better? Better than Wind River Casino? I think you go down from there. But go up. Wouldn't that be good? Huh? Wouldn't it be good? You're sitting there with your children reading the Bible and talking to them about the Bible, and the Lord comes. You go up with a Bible in your hand. Huh? You're at work and you're talking to somebody about Jesus as you hand them a tract. This trumpet of God sounds and you go up, and the last thing you did was try to get somebody saved before you went to heaven. Don't you understand, dear friends, since we don't know what hour the Lord will come or what moment or what minute, we need to be so doing. That means busy, but busy about the master's work. Not busy with the lions and the turkeys and the chickens and the buzzards. Not busy with this stuff and that stuff. Not busy with things. Those things have their place, but not in place of what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Because when this all breaks loose, we need to be about the master's business. There's spiritual warfare coming. Frankly, we're in the process, and the battlefield, battle lines are drawn, and everything is in preparation. Question this morning to you is this then. Are you ready? Let's stand to our feet, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed.